All right, cool. Hi there, my name is Lucky Ndlovu and welcome to the first episode of the first season. Today I am sitting with Tshepo Moate, also known or better known as Pac-Man, Mr. 925. We're going to talk a little bit about that. He also has a podcast known as The People's Journal, where authentic stories are told by authentic people. We're going to talk about that as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got so much... If I were to read his resume, I'd probably be reading the whole hour of the podcast. But welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for accepting the invite. As you know, I am recording this both for video and audio purposes.
Sure.
And thank you also for helping us out with your kid. You know.
Yeah.
I think this also is another way of doing podcasts, having the visual and the audio part recorded both at once. Just introduce yourself and tell us a bit more about the things you do and your day-to-day life.
Yeah, that's always a hard one. But first and foremost, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
It really does feel good to be the other guy.
On the other side.
On the other side, yeah. You know, because most of the time... I'm the one, you know, next to the yellow mic, but today it feels good, you know, I'm more relaxed and more chilled. But yeah, so, Kamala Mutsepo, Tshepo Moate, people call me Pac-Man, Mr. 925, Intambo Yomtlakasi, or Tinti Zochokega.
Okay.
And I'm a podcaster, I'm a creative, I'm a dad. I'm a lover, I'm a brother, I'm God's instrument more than anything,
great.
You know, yeah. So anything and everything else that I feel like I'm doing or have achieved, it's because of God, you know, yeah. So if you had to ask me, Guti, who's Tshepo, who's Pac-Man, I'd just say I'm an instrument of God, you know, yeah. So that's who I am.
Great. Great. How long now have you been a father, dad?
Now going for six months.
Great.
Yeah, so I'm new in this thing.
You know? How does it feel?
It feels great, you know. Yeah. It's a whole new experience. I'm learning a lot of things. More than anything, my smile, it's kind of wide now, compared to before. It's like now everybody can see all my teeth, even the one at the back, you know.
That's great.
Because whenever I hear my child's name, so my child's name is Aura.
Aura.
You know, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so whenever I hear her name being called out, I'm just like, wow, that's my DNA, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, the experience has been good. I mean, obviously, it has its ups and down,
okay,
but I choose to embrace both of them, you know. I think these days I live with this philosophy of saying there is no good or bad experience,
yeah,
you know, life on its own is an experience, yeah. So embrace it as it comes.
I mean, there are some hard times where I feel that it is okay to smile through difficulties.
Sure.
It is okay to cry. It is okay to be happy.
Sure.
And it is okay to embrace the moment and embrace what you're going through, be it trying times or beautiful times. So I really want to talk about quite a few things, and I don't know if we do have the time, but we'll try. We'll try.
I hope so, yeah.
We'll try. Take me through your journey. Number one, I want to ask you, because every time when you say 925, to me... the 9 to 5 that I think about, and I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
It's the job. You know, people work 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. When you say 9 to 5, I'm like, oh, so you're doing this podcast from 8 until 5
yeah.
or something, or from 9 yeah. until 5. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
But like, you change and say, Intambo Yomtlakazi.
My tint is what you're getting.
Absolutely. So 9 to 5, it's like, also 9 to 5 for me, it's the jewelry.
The jewelry.
Oh, so correct. You are the jewelry. Oh, correct. Nice. So I wanted to also let you take me through your journey of discovery during or after high school, and your entry, because you a city alumni, right?
Sure.
Which year was this?
2016.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Can you take us a bit about your discovery? How did you know that you want to be an MC, you want to be a podcaster, or you want to do radio presenting?
It's funny because, so you're saying I must take you after high school.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because all those things for me started while I was in high school.
Oh, how did they start?
You know, so let me just break down the name. So the 9 to 5 was back in high school, Bengi Panzol.
Okay. You know? Like a
that's something we have in common. We've also been that, you know, and where I used to school in 9 to 5 was the thing. You know, it was, if you did not have a 9 to 5 chain, earring, you were left out.
Yeah.
You felt like you did not belong.
Yeah.
You know, so I was one of the people that had collections of those. I had big ones, small ones, medium ones. You know, if in 9 to 5 were funugul boza, you'd ask them from Ikruyami, Abant Benghamba Nabo, and me. You know, and there was this lady, U Ayanda, who was a close friend of mine in high school. And she was more artistic, you know, and she's the one that gave me Nentambo Yomtakasi and the 9 to 5. And they would always say, we have a tan number 9 to 5, you know. And then obviously when people always start to affirm those things about you, you end up becoming that, and it to them they always remember you ngazo zona lezo zinto maungalifakanga. To them it's like, oh, today I'll go around 9 to 5, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what, let me dab that name, you know, and put it in my moniker, you know. So 9 to 5 comes from those earrings. Intambo Yomtlakasi. So also in high school, all of my friends started growing beard. I still struggle with that even today, you know. So I had this only one, Bevele Ntsumpenyami, you know. And whenever I was in a situation at school,
yeah,
I'd always start brushing that one. When jitters would, you know, may not go, you know, and something would spark. If I had to solve a problem or there was something that was needed or I had to think a certain way,
yeah,
I'd start playing with that one. You know, and she said to me, hey, when an alien tambo yakwe mtlakasi,
it's like,
then I was like, oh, so as soon as I touch here,
there's
like,
power,
you know, there's power there, and adapt that. And then, yeah, it became, it added to Upekman, which I got from my friend who Legends. And how I got that was we were selling caps at those times, the 90s and 80s caps. And there was a one that had the Pac-Man sign,
yeah,
you know. And at that time, we were starting up a brand and we just wanted to be different, you know. And he said, why don't you call yourself Pac-Man, you know? And I was like, nah, Pac-Man. He's like, nah. And he started calling me that. Pac-Man, you know. And when the Okay Malum Cook, the Casper Kusheshe song,
yeah,
came in, and Malum Cookette was like, Pac-Man, Bonke Nyabakwenya, my only competition is that man in the mirror. Everybody tapped it and said, Pac-Man. And I was still in high school. And then that's how then the name became what it is to me and everybody else that knows me. With regards to MCing, how I got into that was also in high school. I was bored seeing every time near Valentine's Day we'd have beauty contest, you know. And we decided again, mina nalo uAyanda, you know, because we were close friends. And it's like her and I were like into the future in terms of our thinking, in terms of how we did things, you know. And the environment that we were in did not allow us, you know. And this one time I remember we approached the events committee Basa Skoleni to try and convince them to do a different event at Skoleni where we'd have a dance, people coming in to dance, you know, we'd have actually a bash.
Mm.
You know, that it was that, you know, and excuse all the contesting because it's something we've been doing for long. And then on that event, obviously we then required an MC. And then I had to fill up the gap. And it started from there. I started loving it from there. I realized, you know what, man, I'm an energizer,
yeah,
you know, and I've got this aura about me that when I come to the stage, people feel it.
Yeah.
And then it started growing from there, you know. But I think more than anything, it started from my imagination.
You know? I see.
I always say, like, it's crazy because now we're starting from high school and I'm taking it back. I hope we have time. You know, because going back to primary yet again,
okay.
I was known as Msawawa. As a little boy, because I used to sing ingoma zaka Msawawa. Whenever there's ama performances, I'd perform Msawawa, you know. So all these things, when I look at them today, they are connecting, they are dots. You know, they're coming together. I'm like, oh. So I started from there to here. So I've always been like a stage person. I've never, I wouldn't say I don't have a stage fright. I think I have that side of me that shows good to Peck is shy, but when it comes to this, like I said, I'm God's instrument and I feel like God wants me to use this to touch his people, you know. That's where the MCing, that's where everything that I'm doing till today, which is media related, comes from.
Oh, nice, man. Nice. What a journey. What a journey. And are you still doing the MCing stuff
most
at the moment,
def.
Or are you just focusing on the podcast?
The podcast is bringing that back. Fine enough.
Absolutely.
You know, the podcast is bringing that back. I don't think I'll ever stop being an MC.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever stop. Because being an MC is being a public speaker.
Yeah.
You know, and I love being behind the mics. I love talking to people.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think it's something that will end. I haven't even begun or started.
Yeah.
You know, the journey is only showing me the potential. You know, it's only showing me the possibilities.
Yeah.
So I think it's only the beginning.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And you obviously want to do some radio?
Radio is my first actual dream.
Okay.
I remember a high school during the matric years when Besese Soval, you know, those last, you know, moments. And they made us see me in front of a podium, and that was the first time I stood in front of a podium, and you had to write your pledges there, you know. And I remember pledging that I will in 5 years time work in the biggest radio station in South Africa, you know. And at that time the biggest radio station obviously is Cozy, you know, but in my head I thought Metro, why, you know. So radio has always been what I have always aspired to work in, to be in, for one reason only, and touching people's lives.
Nice.
You know, nice. It's always been about that, informing people and touching people's lives. I really enjoyed listening to your DJ Smooze, you know, to your, there were a lot, Gua FM, most of them. I think we know, I'm a veteran, pioneers.
When they were still in life.
Yeah, so radio has always just been a thing. And it's just a blessing now that, you know, after that 5 years, I couldn't get into radio, but I've been trying and trying and trying. And to realize that, wow, now I have a platform that looks like radio, but it's more, you know, because in the times that we're living in, we need such platforms. So radio is the first love.
Nice.
Yeah.
I want us to go through a bit of the interviews you already have on your podcast, starting with Imvelapi.
Yeah.
You interviewed
Mzilakata.
Yeah. How was that? What's the, if people have to go and listen to your Imvelapi EP, what are they going to get? What should they expect?
So one of the things that I love about Imvelapi EP, so it's because for the first time, because me in podcasting, it's a journey, you know. So it was me exploring and saying, let me try out something I haven't tried before.
Yeah.
If you listen to the other interviews, you'd hear Guti, you know, they have a certain trail or a certain structure, you know. But with Imvelapi, it was more of like, let me try and use this platform as a way of, let me find artists, you know, and expose their work, you know. And with Imvelapi, that's why when the show starts, I say you can expect a session, you know, not an interview, but a session. Because for the first time, I had to play songs. And from those songs, we talk about those songs, you know. So Imvelapi EP, what a person can expect, one, a person can expect to be inspired. Two, a person can expect to listen to something they haven't heard before.
Yeah.
You know, when you listen to the EP itself, you know, it has it's so he calls it traditional ancient music, you know, and it's music that reminds you of your roots, you know. So when someone listens to that, it might provoke them to go back and say, I want to actually tap back. Someone, and funny enough, someone gave me feedback and they were like, what? You know, I just listened to this in my car and I'm so amazed and shocked. And I realize now the importance of going back. You know, if you can look around right now, it's the time for us as, you know, as an African community to start tapping back and realizing it's just for us to find our identity and to find where we come from as a people, because we are still lost, you know, in this mist, you know, of the world for a lot of factors, you know. So Imvelaphi just takes you back. It encourages you to say, let me tap back to my history, you know, outingbuyele limbo, outingbuyele msamo, you know, let me know my lineage, let me understand isibongo sami, let me understand my name, you know, because once you understand those things, then you won't have fear living, right? Fear exists, of course, but how are you going to tackle things? Like, I always say this, Guti, I have peers where we've been kuma round tables and we've sat nama millionaires or people who've made it, you know, and we obviously know, Guti, those people, energy yabo will intimidate you, right? But it's like when you know yourself, you can sit on those round tables, on those chairs, ngale you're confident, knowing who you are, you know? Even when you negotiate the deals and whatever that you're doing, you know, Guti, you're not compromising yourself, you're not selling yourself short, because you know who you are, and you know that you are protected all the time by what? By your ancestors, you know, by the gods, you know, but you understand that from the core, and I think it's important. Clicks showed us that.
All right. I hear you.
Yeah.
So there are quite a few that are still online. People can find Imvelaphi, Modern Day Relationships. You were sitting with Ukanyisile, is it?
Uboniswa.
You were sitting with Uboniswa, and I know Uboniswa.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of shared the table. Probably she said something. but I know Uboniswa.
Yeah.
We were in the same school and same class and stuff.
Sure.
Like that. And I was listening to it, by the way. And interesting how a point of view matters most of the time. There's also a book that I'm reading called Milk and Honey. And there's a passage where this writer says that when having sex, right,
yeah,
is only one-sided, meaning the other party is not committed,
sure,
mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. It's not sex; it's rape, and right, and I feel like also that the discussion around that with the ladies was about, like, both parties should be committed towards their relationship, because the title is called what? Modern day relationships,
yeah,
and I feel like, with these times that we're in, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back then, you could stay a week without speaking to your partner, and you a month or whatever. But now somebody stays 30 minutes offline from your WhatsApp or whatever.
Sure.
And when they come back, they have to explain themselves. Where have you been? What are you doing? Or someone gets quiet or silent for the whole day.
Sure.
And when they come back, you have to kind of explain what you've been doing, mm-hmm, what you were doing. I feel like, I do understand why you guys chose that title, but also we can kind of explore into it and to say this modern types of relationships,
sure,
are quite different from the, you know, but, yeah, the old times relationship, which is interesting for me, the way you guys kind of explored titles of relationships,
yeah,
and people kind of confessing that, look, I come from a polygamous house and I practice polygamy. And I feel like it's fair, mm-hmm, if you would do that, like at the beginning of whatever you want to do, to kind of have a disclaimer to the person you're about to start wanting to have a relationship with.
That's true.
And then we've got strength of a woman.
Okay.
And there's another motivation. Tell me a bit about that. What inspired you to want to interview or to want that type of topic in the podcast?
Right. I think before getting into that, I would be doing some, you know, injustices if I do not touch on a modern day relationship.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So with a modern day relationship, it was just us starting a conversation.
Okay.
Right. We are also learning how to conduct ourselves and how to be present in this time where we are in relationships, because today's relationships have so much pressure from social media, from, you know, the community, the society.
Yeah.
You know, you're expected to be a certain way. It's still compared to, but back in the days, this is what we used to do.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the things that we are applying are things we used to do or things that we used to see, you know. So it was just us starting a conversation from our experience, from our perspective, but also opening up the floor to everyone, you know, who has a different experience, who has a different input that they can add.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we said modern day's relationship. You know, in your modern day relationship, if you are gay, what's your experience? Mm. If you're lesbian, you know, if you're transgender, you know, if you're in a polygamist relationship, you know, if you're in a long distance, you know, relationship, if you're in a friends with benefits relationship. And one of the things for me that stood out from that interview was when the ladies started saying, in all relationship, you must be consent.
Yeah.
Set your intentions clear. This is
what I want. Yeah.
You know, because that's where I think our relationships these days, we are confused. You know, a person would say they want love, but they know they want the coochie.
I see.
You know, a person would say they want love, but they know they just want the money. They want marriage, but they know, you understand. So it was just to say, let's be consent. State what you need, you know, and to explore other people's experiences. But more than anything, a modern day relationship was just us starting a conversation. I don't think we have it all figured out. I don't even want to own that and say, this is what modern day relationship is. No, we are learning. You know, this is a journey. But in us learning, let's start these conversations. Let's talk about it. You know, come with your input. You know, what's your experience? This is mine. This is how I've seen and viewed the world.
Yeah.
How have you viewed it?
Yeah.
You know, from your experience, you've been in a 10-year relationship. You were married. You got divorced.
Yeah.
You have to start all over again. Yeah. What are the things that you learned that you can say this and that and that did not work in this time?
Yeah.
You right?
Yeah.
4 years, 3 years back, it worked.
Yeah.
But modern day, it's modifying it every time, you know, and saying it worked yesterday. Today, it's a different. Exactly, you know. So good modern day, that's what we're exploring.
Strength of woman. How did that topic come about?
I had felt like the People's Journal had so many male guests coming into the show.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't want it to sound like it's a male show or hopeko interview abangani bakhe.
Yeah.
You know, because people sometimes get it twisted.
Yeah.
You know, and also I think strength of woman came as, damn, there's just so much that's happening in the world with regards to what's affecting women.
Yeah.
You know, and more than anything, when we talk about women issues, we talk about women issue from a point of view of weakness.
Yeah.
You know, but I wanted to empower women. I wanted to give women the platform to say, be you. Be as authentic as you are and own your stories.
Yeah.
You know, women go through a lot. You know, so I wanted women to come together, not only as women, but also include us guys and saying, this is our strength.
Yeah.
And you need to respect it.
Yeah.
Funny enough, the other day we were just talking about, as guys, Guti, you know, it's so difficult to approach a woman who's successful as a guy because you feel intimidated. You feel like I can't handle, you know, and when you look at such things, they then take you back and saying, okay, cool. Yes, we are intimidated by those things and so forth, but we need to learn. you know, to embrace those strengths, you know, of women who are in power. I mean, my woman is a feminist. Every day, we have to have a certain debate, you know.
Yeah.
I know I have to conduct myself a certain way if I want. Yeah. I'm not just going to talk about women, because I know then we're going to have issues, because I'd have to justify so many things, you know, or I'd have to unlearn so many things from just the conversations that we have. So a strength of woman was coming from that place to saying, yes, so many of us men are intimidated by this new concept of feminism, but more than anything, we need to understand what it is, what it represents, but also from the female's perspective or female side, they need to be clear also with what is feminism, what is the strength of a woman, right? Giving birth, that's a strength. We take that lightly as guys. After giving birth, right? And they have to pick up the pieces, right? Most women go through depression because of what's happening. Most women go through depression because of the labeling. You know, where is your strength in that? How do you find your strength? Your strength is in your stories. Hence why I say authentic stories told by real people. So own your story. That's your strength. So I was coming from different angles with that, you know. It's also a conversation starter, you know, to say, absolutely. I'm starting a conversation.
Absolutely.
Let us in. And from us as male, you know, let us not be fearful, but let's embrace the strength of a woman. Let's not feel like, because the killing that's happening, you know, where is it coming from? Is it coming from a place of fear? Where is it coming from? Funny enough, if I may just extend on that, I was listening to an interview by Stilo Makolite, and he was interviewing Dr. Mbuyiseni, the EFF. Yes. And they touched on that, Guti. Most of the abuse that's happening with regards to men abusing women comes from, you know, as guys, you know, Guti, Maui won. You have that fear of approacher umuntu wesimame. Oshisayo, like, oh, ngizomcala kuphi. But when we're chilling in the corners as guys, hey, the confidence, yabo. So, damn, I lost my train of thought. But from that, they said, Guti, most of the time, the reason why then the killings and everything starts to happen, it's because it comes from that point of fear, where you know that you are fearful, so you decide to use a different strength, you know, to show Guti, Mina, you know, I'm here, I'm a man, you need to listen to me, you know, because you haven't figured yourself enough to say, ni one, you know, let me face this woman. I had a situation with a friend whereby this friend of mine had a crush, Gulumdan, but they couldn't approach them because they feared that woman because of the beauty and everything, right? And you could see, Guti, now the fear is causing frustration because the comments, you understand? Till I said to him, no, why don't maybe you try a different creative approach, you know? And I remember he started recording a song and he sent it to this woman. And after that, we had a conversation and he said to me, now I feel free. I do not have that fear anymore. And you can see, Guti, now he's not even trying to find things that he can back up and say in as a word to say, as an excuse, you know. So a strength of a woman was also coming from that place. You know, so it's crazy, it's broad, but it's a conversation starter. let's have these conversations.
And then we have I'm Born for People.
I love that one.
Why?
It's always a reference wherever Lang Nyakon and someone has listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, and it's also a conversation starter.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of crazy. We haven't really, it's a conversation, it's a starter before getting to the full meal.
Yeah.
You know, so I am born for people came at a time where I myself, you know, was unlearning so many things and learning so many things, and needed a different perspective on some of the things that I was unlearning.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the things that I thought, these are things I believed in, you know, and thought these are things that, you know, the way things should be, you know. And I learned a lot from there. You know, I learned a lot about the power of word and action. You know, I learned a lot about love. Because I remember in the conversation, love came up, you know, and you said, Witty, sometimes when you pray and ask for love, God will send broken people.
Absolutely.
For you to love them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when you learn.
Yeah.
When I got in a relationship with my girlfriend, she was coming out of the state of depression. She was recovering from that. Bae knew she's been hospitalized. You understand? I was coming from a point of pain. I had lost my mother. That history on itself. You know, so many blames, blaming people. I remember when we got together, we had so much pain, but because of love, we ended up healing each other. You understand? So I am born for people is one of my favorite, because it's a motivation. It's everyday, keep going type of, if you wanna, if you need that encouragement, if you need some motivation, you know. And for the May Factor Guti, it was someone whom I respect, someone who, his life has been so impactful, you know, through me seeing him from a far coast, through me being in his space when he was still a choreographer. You know, so that's why I'm saying it's special. But more than anything, the title, I am born for people. You said you are a solution in someone's life. I just said I'm an instrument that God uses me to touch his people.
Absolutely.
So when you understand that, then you understand why I am born for people.
Absolutely. I feel like it is also like an ongoing practice of life. Also the book that I'm reading, Milk and Honey, the writer states as well that so the heart questions the writer and says, why are you being kind to people who are unkind to you? Why are you showing that kindness? Why are you showing that? The writer says that because people have not been kind to me.
Yeah.
And I'm giving out to this kindness because people have not been kind to me.
To me.
And it's not because they are kind to me. And that's like the most difficult thing to do, you know? Usually, people want to live on an eye for an eye.
Sure.
Yeah. Which is very dangerous.
It is.
Yeah, it's a very dangerous philosophy. And I feel like if we are to impact the next generation, we are to impact the next generation with what we have and how we live. Because I feel like preaching is not only a pulpit thing. You are preaching in your daily life. So knowing that each and every one of us are born for people, you know, your weakness is my strength and my strength is your weakness. We are unequal. So that is what you can get on the I'm Born for People podcast, right? On the People's Journal, right? Let's talk about you being a creative, obviously content creator, in terms of the content that you want to produce on your podcast, and the importance of creating content for your people, your followers. How do you handle your creative, you know, sometimes creativity is not easy, you know.
True.
Like you have to think it through, write a script, scrutinize it, look into it time and time again before you can give it to people. How do you go about, how do you find the important thing? You know, like during COVID, the president let the essential people to go to work because they were the most important.
Yeah.
How do you then, in your busy schedule, busy thoughts, select what is important in terms of content creation and what you want to give to people? How do you go about doing that?
Damn. So this is an exclusive. So the People's Journal is going to drop a T-shirt, and the T-shirt, the front logo, the front slogan, it's going to be written, "Even Jesus was authentic."
Nice.
You know, and Now going back to how do I come up?
I think I would buy that.
Even Jesus was authentic. Yeah.
I think I want to have it in my podcast, my next recording.
Ah, cool.
I don't know when you're going to drop it, but like I would October. Love to have. Oh, nice. Yeah. I'd love to have it in the
panel.
Yeah.
So now when we go back to my creativity and the creative process, I've found that I'm mostly creative when I'm in pain.
I see.
You know? And I choose then to use that pain, you know, to the utmost of my ability. I use creativity as an expression. I might sit down and conceptualize, but yeah, I want to create that, you know. But if it doesn't resonate with me healing from the process that I'm going through, because like I said, Guti, God uses me as an instrument. So in me healing, I then find, Guti, like, when you think about I am born for people, we're in the middle or the pandemic was still starting.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Already there was like a whole encouragement, a whole inspiration, right? A to conversation that yeah. people needed to hear because yeah. there was so much of this can happen, this can happen. I can't be that. I'm losing that. I'm fading that. I lost my job. And people were down. You know, and I was also going through a process where at work, I was laid off, you know. But when you think of I am born for people and the guest that came and how it was structured and how it came, the energies, you realize, Guti, for me, it was a healing process, you know. Hence why people can even today go back and reference to that. And say, yeah, 1, 2, 3, you know, because it changed perspective.
Absolutely.
So my creative process has to be, I feel like when I'm not in pain, I'm not most creative.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I can just be doing some dull shit.
Yeah.
You know, I can just, yeah, it's fine. But, you know, because happy, you know, but not everybody's happy.
Yeah.
You know, if there's one thing that we all have in common is pain.
Yeah. Look, I mean, even Bill Gates says success is a poor teacher.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And also you, and you also finding strength and encouragement in pain. It's absolutely gold.
Sure.
You know, I think that's what unprivileged people, should I say poor people, should see poverty as. As an inspiration not to become poor. Or as an inspiration to seek for a better life or to better their lives.
Sure.
That's great, man. It's such an interesting thing, you know.
You know,
probably someone is like, what? How come I never realized that?
It's funny. I'm also reading this book. It's called, it's not The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari.
Oh, yeah. Robin Sharma.
Robin Sharma. Yeah. It's my favorite author, funny enough, because I have like a stream line of books from him.
From him.
Yeah. So There's a quote there. He says, you know, I have found seeds of opportunities in my pain experience, you know. And I think now that's a line I live with, you know, to saying in my painful experience, what are the opportunities there? How can I grow from there? Because most of the time when we are in pain, we are sort of like closed in.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
We do not see possibilities, you know, but I try to see that as, what can this pain do for me?
Yeah.
What am I learning from this pain and what I'm going through at that moment? So, yeah.
Great. We're going to take about 5 minutes break and then we'll be back and we'll continue the conversation just to prepare some coffee and continue.
Sure.
Is that good?
It's good.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Sure.